What the heck does Michael Brantley sound like? I've never even heard him talk. Have you?
I don't want to admit that I don't remember what he sounds
like. I've never seen Michael Brantley do an interview. He seems like a very mild-mannered guy. I'm going to put Figgy to task. We'll get it in 5 minutes. Figgy, if you can, I hate to make you have to run through hoops here or something like that, but let's hear from Michael Brantley in like 5 minutes. I'm sure Figgy can scrounge that up, but I really want to know
it's
what
Figgy
exactly
we're talking
he sounds
about.
Like. Yeah,
come on,
you know he's going to get it done. Texans 14 weeks till the season opener, and they are currently on the practice field. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, you're going to hear from the Texans' assistant coaches, including Tim Kelly, the new offensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel, the new defensive coordinator. We'll have all that for you right here on Sports Radio 610. But an encouraging statistic I dug up about the season opener for the Texans, because we know how good New Orleans is, we know how great the Saints are, we know how tough it is to win in New Orleans, but the New Orleans Saints have actually lost their last five season openers. The last time the Saints won their first game of the season with Sean Payton was against Chip Kelly in his second season as the Eagles head coach, second and final season, I must add. So you have to go all the way back to when Chip Kelly was the toast of the NFL to find the last time the Saints won a season opener. Now, in fairness, the Texans have lost their last two as well, but it's my statistics. I can make them dance however I want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if that's more encouraging or less encouraging, to be honest, now that I think about it, because you know that's going to be the narrative all preseason for the Saints. Haven't won an opener in 5 years. Monday Night Football. This is going to be the year. Facing Deshaun Watson, look, I don't know which way it falls, but, I mean, it's an interesting stat that of all teams, of all quarterbacks and all coaches to have five straight, you wouldn't expect those two guys.
It's interesting. Last year, they lost to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, they lost a shootout to Ryan
That's
Fitzpatrick
right.
with Jameis Winston.
Was that when he
suspended.
Put what's-his-name's jacket on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing about it is Ryan Fitzpatrick – they lit it up. They scored over 40 points in that shootout. So we're high on the Texans' offense. We expect it to be a shootout against the Saints. So you're just going to have to light it up like Ryan Fitzpatrick did. But I remember that spread was like 13 or something like that. It was the highest spread. And New Orleans Saints in New Orleans lost to Fitzmagic. So if Fitzmagic can do it, damn it, Deshaun Watson can do it. And the Texans are getting their work in right now. On the first day of the summer, right here on Sports Radio 610. Astros sweep Oakland over the weekend. Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, George Springer out. However, the Astros finally get a sweep. They beat the A's yesterday in 12 innings. A lot of guys doing a lot of things. You saw some of the kids. You saw Stubbs with the throw from behind the plate. Derek Fisher, he got a little bit hot over the weekend. Yuli Gurriel, Michael Brantley both chip in. And speaking of Michael Brantley, I said this and I was serious. I love Michael Brantley. He seems like a mild-mannered fellow, but I've never, ever heard Michael Brantley speak. And Figgy has dug it up. I know a lot of loopholes haven't either.
Yeah.
This is what Michael Brantley sounds like.
I'm Michael Brantley, and I'm an outfielder. One place I have never been, but I'd love to go, is Alaska. Big finder fisher back at home in Florida, and Alaska has king halibut. So I'd love to go and just wrestle a big finder and just try to wrestle one of those into the boat.
Well, wow, we're talking.
Kind of guy.
Well, now
he's
we're
your
talking.
Kind of guy.
Michael, I've caught some halibut in Alaska. I'll show you a thing or two. I'll take you down and we'll catch some flounder.
Wait, you fish in Alaska?
Yeah, I took my boys about
Dude.
4 years ago. It was awesome.
Tell me a story, OG.
Took my two sons. We slept on the 40-foot boat, had a little skiff on it. We'd go salmon fishing in the morning or in the evening. In the middle of the day, we'd go out to Ketchumak Bay, the big body of water outside of Alaska by Homer, Alaska, and catch some halibut, cooking it on board, sleeping on board. Badass.
Do your sons like fishing as much as you do?
My middle son is close. I don't know if anybody likes it as much as I do in my family. I mean, obviously, there's some sickos out there like me. That's why they listen to the podcast, and we thank you very much. Oh, I got a story real quick on that. I got another story within
a
story.
Tell me a story, OG.
Let me finish that story first. So my middle son is close. He actually was fishing with me this weekend. Caught a nice trout. It was slow, but I caught a big fat trout. Anyway, my older son likes to just go out and hang. He's drink. Like, yeah. Well, just everything. Drink, hang out, just chat. He likes hiking and all that stuff, being outdoors, but not necessarily fishing.
Not hiking his leg like McClain.
No.
Like,
and my daughter just likes to go hang out with dad like twice a year, just because it's something different. But, all right, so this weekend, just a little aside here real quick. I fished all day Saturday in the heat of the day. Remember I told you how hot it was? I mean, look at my...
Yeah. Damn, you are dark.
I got dark.
Even for you.
I got dark. We were on the water like at 7, a little before 7. I got off the water at 2:30 p.m. all in the midst of that heat all day, okay? So I get everything out. We finally catch a couple of nice trout. I pull the boat out and I got to go fill it with some gas because we were running all over the place. And so I hadn't showered. My hair was standing straight up because, you know, it was all, you know, disheveled from the run. I hadn't shaved. I hadn't anything. I looked like hell. I was all sunburned. I had fish scales on my arm from just holding the fish and all that stuff. And I pull into the gas station and this really, really sweet lady, like, you know, a pretty lady, not like, you know, just a really, really nice lady.
Okay.
Comes up to me and says, "Your voice sounds familiar." I said, "Yeah, you know, I do the radio show." She goes, No. "I listen to you on the podcast every week." She was a big fisherman. She goes, "I have to take a picture with you." I said, and I couldn't say no, right? I mean, I didn't say no. I said, "Absolutely." And I put my arm around her and I stunk. I mean, I smelled something. But she asked me.
"You're nasty.
Is there any situation
you're
like
gross,
that?
Gross, dude."
Could I have told her?
Yeah.
Could I have told her, "Let's do this
yeah,
later"?
Yeah, you should have.
You know, maybe I'll meet you at this place.
Yeah, you should have told her you stunk.
I mean, I was dirty, stinky, sweaty. I was.
You're nasty,
I
dude.
So somewhere out there is a picture of me that looks awful. And I put my arm around her. And she put her arm around me. My lower back was all sopping wet from cleaning the boat and everything. Would I have been a total a-hole?
Yeah, you should have just said, "Look, I'm disgusting. If you don't mind, I just got off the boat. I'm disgusting." If she said,
"But
I don't
how
mind,
do we do it then?"
Then she would just say, "What, like taking a picture?"
Yeah.
Just don't put your arm around her. I mean,
but I still look like hell. Figgy, what should I have done there?
No, I think you were right.
Straight off the boat, but you should have told her you smell.
Yeah, I looked bad.
But if she fished, she didn't care. Maybe it's more authentic.
That's true. That's true.
But you were basically a fan, so it's almost like if James Harden just came off the court and someone was a big fan of James Harden and he was all sweaty,
yeah,
it might actually add to the experience, to the authenticity. So her Bite Me podcast experience was actually better because you smelled like ass and you were sweaty and all that. So maybe it's like James Harden taking a sweaty picture with a fan.
Okay, I feel better. Because I almost went, "Let's do this later," you know, whatever. Doesn't matter.
By the way, you're talking about your weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, I went to the Crawfish Royal. Mo from the Morning Bull was hosting it. Good cause for literacy. I volunteered to read to kids, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Volunteered. But we were at the bar.
Right.
It's a very good bar. Guess who walked by?
Where were you? What part of town?
Downtown.
One of the Astros? No, it couldn't have been.
No, just guess. Like, if you know me very well, who is probably my favorite athlete in the entire world of all time? Just guess, dude. It's not he doesn't play anymore. Just guess. He walked right by me.
Vince Young.
There you go.
Get out.
There you go. Vince Young walked right by me, dude.
You didn't say anything?
He wasn't drinking. He was drinking a Red Bull in a water.
Sure.
Did you hear his charge got his? He got a. It's no longer a DWI. It's like an obstruction.
Doesn't
of
mean
the
he
highway.
Stopped drinking.
He wasn't drinking.
Okay.
He had a water and a Red Bull,
mm-hmm.
A sugar-free Red Bull. I might add. He looks like he's losing a little bit of weight. But
good
Vince was there.
Good
I just let him do his thing. I wasn't going to bother him. I'm not. You know, me and Vince are already tight.
You didn't fanboy out?
No, dude. I got to leave Vince alone, especially at a bar. It's got to be weird for him, even when he's not drinking, to go into a bar these days, right?
Yeah. No, I think he's pretty comfortable going into a bar.
On. Just let my man rest, okay? Like, come on, bro.
What? No.
He just lost his job. Can you go easy on my dude BY for just a sec? I mean, come on, man. Golly.
I'm just telling you, I think
you?
He's comfortable.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Astros, as we said yesterday, they beat the A's. They're going to face Seattle tonight, 9 p.m. ESPN. One of those late national games, so it'll be an opportunity to see what the national media types are saying about your Astros, who, oh, by the way, 8.5 games up in the AL West, and 20. Yes, I said 20. That's a throwback, Gary Payton. 20 games above 500. Carlos Correa not going to be in the lineup tonight. He's out with a broken rib. He says that he broke his rib while getting a massage. A lot of people very skeptical of such claims just because, well, let's be honest. We talked to some people in the massage industry. They said they never heard of it happening. Athletes get massages all the time. We've never heard of it happening. But Carlos Correa insisted via his fiance's YouTube channel that that, in fact, is what happened.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to my channel. I'm here with my fiance. And today we're going to talk about the very unfortunate event that happened just a few days ago.
The injury, a lot of the fans have been asking what happened. And, Tuesday morning, I woke up like a normal day. You know, I had a scheduled massage like I do every single morning when I'm at home. And unfortunately, it was not like every other day. It was I was getting a massage and you know, I heard a crack when my masseuse pressed on my on this area over here on my ribs. And you know, I looked at it, like, what was that? Immediately after, my side started hurting when I was breathing, when I was walking, and you know, at that point I figured something's not right. Unfortunately, the MRI revealed that I had a fracture on one of my ribs, and for us. So thank you guys for your support.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Sports Radio 610. John, you have a massage room.
Yes, I do.
And I know you're you frequent massages. Do you buy what Correa is selling here?
I'm still not. There are a lot of levels to the story. We've covered a lot of them. But one thing that is still not clear and doesn't make any sense, he said, I woke up Tuesday morning like a normal morning. So he didn't sleep till noon or one or whatever. The first words out of his mouth when he was talking about it says, I woke up Tuesday morning like a normal morning. Why the heck was he in the lineup at 4:30 p.m.? The timeline just drips with this is not the whole story. It just drips with it. And then another level that just consistently, you know, it makes me laugh. I laughed out loud while I was listening right there is my fiance. The fact that she just injects herself into the headline. She's his fiance. She obviously was part of this story. I guess she was part
YouTube
of the story.
Channel,
it's
bro.
Her YouTube channel. But she injects herself to the front. So don't be, you know, don't be reticent or don't be angry when people include you in their aspect of the headline.
You have a massage room, and word on the street has it you're also into role play. Could I interest you in some role play right now?
I don't know about that.
All right,
sure.
I'm going to have you be Jeff Luno, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to call you. Let's say I work in Astros PR. You're Jeff Luno, so I'm going to call you right now. Let's call John Lopez, and I just want to see how he'd handle this.
Hello.
I don't know if you saw this, Mr. Luno, but mm-hmm. Carlos Correa is putting out a statement on his fiance's YouTube channel talking about this rib injury. What should we do about this? What do we got to do? What is Carlos doing?
I'm not at liberty to say what Carlos should or shouldn't do to handle this situation. I'm not at liberty to say.
You think behind the scenes Luno's saying that? What do you think he's saying behind the scenes?
He is
annoyed,
to say the least.
I mean, just the way that they brought it up, it seemed like he was a little bit annoyed. Look, Jeff Luno has more skins on the wall in this town than most GMs do in the time he's been running. And mm-hmm. I'd say even he's ahead of Daryl Morey at this point just because of the success they've had in building the best team in franchise history and one of the best teams in baseball. I cannot imagine that Jeff Luno likes Carlos Correa putting out a YouTube video with his fiance talking
you
about
can't
this
say
injury
anything
that he was already upset about.
Story.
Between that and the way she loves saying fiance, she puts a little jelly on it. Fiance. No, I'm not going to say that.
What are you going to say? Go ahead.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Come on, man.
No, it's
come
not
on,
fair.
Dude.
It's not fair.
Come on, dude.
No, not going to say it.
Come on, dude.
Not going to say it.
Come on, dude.
Has something to do with ink drying.
Ink drying.
Yeah.
Ink drying.
All right.
Drying.
Moving on.
All right.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to my channel.
All right. I'm going to try to figure out what the hell John's talking about. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. NBA Finals Game 2 yesterday. Looked like Toronto was en route to taking a 2-0 lead over the Warriors. However, Boogie Cousins emerges for the Golden State Warriors, has a hell of a game. Andre Iguodala with the dagger. at the end. The Warriors win 109-104. It's basically a best-of-five series heading to Golden State. I got to tell you this, and this is the thing that stuck out to me, and we're talking about Tillman Fertitta and the Rockets cutting pay last year because Fertitta was on record saying that, and we actually have the quote, Fertitta was on record saying that one of the next 3 years, the Rockets had to be under the luxury tax, so they didn't use their mid-level exception this year. Boogie Cousins, Warriors use their mid-level exception, boom, Warriors win. Warriors use mid-level exception, they win playoff game. What a concept.
Right, that was a mid-level exception. What a game by him. I mean, to come. I mean, he tore the hell out of that quad. You saw the pictures of it all mangled, you know, underneath the skin. It looked like he had knots in there. And be able to do that, Iguodala with the big shot. Klay, you know, can barely walk. You know, obviously Durant's not playing. Steph has the flu. Gosh,
they're so extra.
Are you ready to say that Steve Kerr is a good coach yet? Are you ready?
I'm close.
Are you close?
I'm close.
That locker room must look like a Civil War hospital half the time. I mean, you know, they're pulling out a saw.
What?
A Civil War hospital.
The hell?
There's guys' bodies everywhere.
Why do we have to go there?
I'm just
saying.
What
are you talking about,
man? There's bodies lying everywhere in there. Damn, everybody's hurt.
They're not dying or anything like that. they got better medical care than the Civil War people did. Good Lord.
Shot of whiskey and a saw?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard before the game, I thought this was interesting. Kawhi Leonard's an interesting cat. He was asked about trash talk and why he doesn't talk any trash. This is what Kawhi Leonard had to say about talking smack.
You know, win, lose, or draw, I'm still going to be living, still got a family, and this is all for fun.
When guys talk to you, what do you even respond when guys try to trash talk you?
I mean, it really doesn't happen too much, you know what I mean? I really can't say it happened.
I love that, Kawhi Leonard. He's a damn good player. Last week, of course, we talked about Tillman Fertitta calling out Mike D'Antoni about the contract extension and the specifics. Fertitta got into the specifics of that contract. This is what that sounded like.
I made Mike a great extension offer. It was one of the better base salaries in basketball, but also had the highest incentives in basketball. Mike could make $4 million in incentives. It was $4 million worth of incentives. And if you go from the second round to winning the championship, you can get there real easy.
It was not a base salary of $5 million, according to Jonathan Fagan, confirmed by Daryl Morey.
Daryl Morey confirmed it.
It was actually $2.5 million, and it wasn't guaranteed because if D'Antoni had gotten fired after the season, he would have just gotten that $2.5 million, and he would have gone on his happy way. Same thing if he got fired during the season before the playoffs. He only would have gotten $2.5 million. So, Fertitta, maybe he misspoke. Call it what you want, but the specifics that he got weren't accurate, according to Mike D'Antoni's agent, and, of course, confirmed by Daryl Morey.
He said it was one of the better contract offers, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember it exactly what Fertitta said. You know, out there, the numbers say it wasn't. It wasn't. The top 10 coaches, top 12 coaches in the NBA make more than $4 million, and you offered a 2.5 base. By default, that's not one of the better contracts. You also pointed out accurately
buyout
that 40 college coaches make more than $2.5 million. So
at this point, you don't want to give him a long term deal. That's fine. Just don't act like you want to. You don't want to give him a contract. I wouldn't give D'Antoni an extension right now either. I wouldn't either. But don't come out and I would recommend not coming out and saying that. But that's neither here nor there. I don't own the team, and I'm not worth billions of dollars. Big weekend for John Lopez because Andy Ruiz Jr. knocked out Anthony Joshua. He was a plus 1,200 underdog, one of the biggest heavyweight upsets since Tyson Douglas. And this is why it's such a big thing for John Lopez.
Come on, man.
He becomes the first heavyweight champion of the world that John Lopez is in better shape than. And most importantly, he becomes the first Mexican heavyweight champion of all time.
Mexican-American. He was born here. But I don't – it is rare. Most Hispanic fighters, most Mexican fighters are in the lower, you know, weight divisions. There was no way he was going to make it to a lower weight division by any stretch. But I get a little bit – I got a little bit bothered by some of the people saying, you know, obviously it was a huge upset, but that he's, you know, obviously – thick around the middle.
Yeah, he looks like Butterbean. He looks like a Hispanic
he's not
Butterbean.
Fat,
right?
Well, I mean, he's big.
No, he's fat.
He actually looks fat around the middle.
He's fat.
But did you see the way he was moving and peppering? I
mean, obviously, he's got hands.
That's what I'm saying. So you can say all you want. He's like a defensive tackle. Yeah, they look fat, but they are athletic as hell. And he was moving his feet. He was just peppering. Joshua had no chance at all. He put him down twice, right?
Yeah, he was graceful in the win. I know Stephen A. Smith was pretty upset about it, but congratulations to John Lopez and all my Hispanic people
out
there.
Come on, man.
You have a heavyweight champion of the world, and I'm very happy for you. I wonder who's going to knock him out in his next fight, because you know this ain't going
to
last.
Well, Joshua wants to fight him already again.
Okay, yeah, well, good luck with that, because you look, you got knocked down four times.
Well, here's the deal. I wouldn't mind fighting him again, but guess who's going to get a real big purse?
Yeah, and this guy deserves it. This guy deserves all the money coming his way. Congratulations to him. He seems like a great guy as well. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, spending this summer day with you. 14 weeks. You heard it right. 14 weeks till the Texans begin the season in New Orleans, and the Astros keep doing what the Astros keep doing. Let's have some lunch next.